Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, the Padres get ready to kick off a series at Petco against the Diamondbacks. And as you hear me say in all the TV commercials, it's San Diego's biggest happy hour, Beer Fest. And our host, Ben Higgins, couldn't be more excited.
I know, I love this. I love the excitement of a Friday night at Petco Park.
Alongside Ben Higgins, it's Kurt Bevacqua and his socks.
Our socks are important.
Especially when you're sitting on a couch in a chair like this.
With your legs crossed.
No, that's too true.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Kurt Bevacqua.
It's Friday night, and there's no place better to be in all of San Diego than Petco Park. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines from our AMR studios. And look at that, it is Beer Fest night at the ballpark, and a good crowd gathering, sampling some of San Diego's finest suds, along with Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Ben Higgins inside the Western Metal Supply Company building here. We got a little audience getting ready for an hour, talking Padres leading up to tonight's game, the opener to a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kurt, you know it as well as I do. The Padres need a win. They need series wins. They need a sweep. In fact, I called it on Twitter earlier today. Padres kind of need a 5-0 homestand right now. That would make things look a heck of a lot better moving forward. I know that's a tall order when they haven't even won a series yet under Pat Murphy, but hey, let's go ahead and make that the goal for five games at Petco Park.
There's so much speculation going on around baseball and what the Padres are going to do, especially here in San Diego. And people need to realize that they need to calm down a little bit. I mean, I understand that this ball club's not playing up to expectations, not what we wanted them to do. But let's face it, this ball club's right in the middle of a pennant race. As silly as that might sound, the Los Angeles Dodgers are a few games above 500. The San Diego Padres are a few games below 500. I heard somebody say today on talk radio that if the ball club's not playing 500 come trading deadline, then you got to start making trades. That doesn't make any sense. What if they're one or two games below 500 and they're only three games out of first place? Are you going to trade players away? You got a chance to win a National League division title or a wild card berth. You're certainly not going to trade players away. You're going to try to add to it.
I think the expectation was that the Dodgers were going to start pulling away from this thing if the Padres didn't start winning, but they just haven't. They haven't done it for whatever reason, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. Remember in 2005, the Padres won the division with, what, 82 wins? It happens in Major League Baseball. You don't have to be well above 500 to get to the playoffs or to sneak in, and if you can sneak in, you can do damage in October. And I thought Pat Murphy put it really well. I was down in the dugout when he was talking a little while ago. He said, we have to basically metaphorically as a team get ourselves into scoring position right now for the season. We need to play well. We need to go on a little bit of run. And then when we get ourselves into scoring position, you know, get within, a, you know, two, three games of the Dodgers, the Giants, then we need to come through with a big run, the big hit. So right now they're just playing to get themselves into scoring position. And if they can do that, then they've got a chance to come up with that, you know, that big double or that big metaphorical home run near the end of the season that could push them into the playoffs, which is where they want to be.
Well, they've got some guys swinging the bats okay right now. But if you look at this offense, it's terribly well below what everybody expected it to be. But this ball club, where the trouble lies is in its pitching staff. They've been very, very inconsistent. The starters, I think, really have not lived up to any expectations that anybody thought that they were going to do. And you just don't know what you're going to get when you pull guys out of the bullpen. I mean, look at our bullpen two games ago. They came in and they shut the door so great on that ball club and made it look easy. And then yesterday, they come into the game and it doesn't look like they could get anybody out. I mean, this is a tough game. But you know what? You got to come in and you got to be somewhat consistent in order to be successful.
You know, yesterday was a microcosm of what this season's kind of been about for the San Diego Padres. And a six-run eighth inning. I mean, they've got it in them. We've seen them hit well. We've seen them pitch well. We've seen them play defense well over the course of the season. Every once in a while, they even put it all together and they win going away. But unfortunately, none of the three has been consistent. You've been shut out 11 times on offense. You've had you've given up double-digit runs way too many times now to count over the course of the season, including yesterday in San Francisco, and you have games where defensive lapses have cost you. So I think what's most encouraging for fans, for the team, is that, hey, they know they can play at a very high level. We've seen it out of them, and that's also the most frustrating thing, is that they haven't been able to do it on a day-in, day-out basis.
There's a couple of guys on this ball club, Ben, that swing the bat the way they do and are going to swing the bat the way they do, and I'm talking about Kemp and Upton. The rest of the Padre ball club can't look at those guys when they hit, because if they try to emulate them or if they try to come off the ball rolling over on it, they're going to have an unsuccessful season. That's all there is to it. Lexi Amorista yesterday, when he hit off Romo in that inning where they scored six runs, that's the way that guy can be successful and be a 270, 280 hitter. If he tries to roll over on the ball or he tries to jerk the ball out of the ballpark, he's going to have plenty of trouble. But if he hits the ball that way, and it's the same way with Yonder Alonso, he's such a great hitter when he uses gaps, left center, right center. As soon as he tries to come off the ball a little bit, he rolls over on it, and he gets into trouble. And, you know, there's three or four other guys in the lineup that are the same way.
That was a nice piece of hitting we saw there by Amorista
yesterday. Oh, it was beautiful.
Very nice. Another thing that Murph said before the game, and I don't know if this is something that they used to do when Buddy Black was the manager or that Pat Murphy always does, but he said he had an hour meeting, a hitter's meeting, before the game today, before batting practice, where they just had some open communication about, you know, what they can do better, what the team needs to work on. You know, obviously things like got to get better with two strikes against you. You just can't be striking out up and down the lineup if you want to, you know, at least make productive outs. So, you know, they're sitting, they're talking about it. It's all you can do. And this is almost surprising to me. I tweeted it out yesterday because I just realized today is just the second home game for Pat Murphy as the manager. I mean, the last time he was here was the day that he was introduced as interim manager. It was probably a blur to him, that day game where he got here in the morning, didn't even know it was a day game. Someone told him about three, hey, we got a 12 o'clock game and you're the skipper. Okay, well, and then they went off on this 8-game road trip. They went 3-5. So now he's finally back, probably getting a chance to sit down in his office for the first time, get comfortable, and hopefully the team now starting to feel comfortable with their new skipper after traveling with him. And he was certainly not happy with a 3-5 road trip, but at least a chance for players to get to know their manager a little bit.
Well, he's certainly an easy guy to get comfortable around. He's very personable. He's knowledgeable. And it's just a matter of whether or not he's in a fair position right now. If you ask me, I would say he's in a tough position. I mean, he's put on – I can't stand people calling him the interim manager. He's the manager of the San Diego Padres. That's all there is to it with me. The interim doesn't come out of my mouth, and I hate hearing other people say it. But I tell you what, this ball club and every hitter in baseball, as a matter of fact, any youth watching the game tonight can learn big lessons by the monster hitter that's on this Arizona baseball team, and that's Paul Goldschmidt. You watch him when he gets two strikes on him, he becomes a different hitter. That's what a lot of hitters should do in this league, and their teams would be better.
Well, I may be the interim host of Padres Social Hour while Jesse's here. I'm okay saying that. But we got a terrific starting lineup kind of show coming up for you today. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to be joined by a Triple Crown winner. Not Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers. Although
Carl Yastrzemski.
Yaz is not here either. No, we have Victor Espinoza, the jockey of American Pharoah, making a repeat performance on Padres Social Hour. Came here last year after winning the Kentucky Derby aboard California Chrome. This time he gets all three. He's going to be back on that couch in just a moment. Plus, we're also following, I think, what could be one of the most incredible baseball stories ever, and that is Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals, who threw a one-hitter two starts ago, followed that up last time with a no-hitter in which he had a perfect game, two outs, two strikes in the ninth inning, has been perfect through five innings tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies, trying to pull off the Johnny Vandermeer plus, I would say, and become just the second pitcher ever to throw back-to-back no-hitters.
And the Phillies manager?
Ryan Sandberg quit before the game. I guess he knew what was coming. It's like, I don't need this headache of facing Max Scherzer. I'm gone.
Scherzer's pitching. I quit. Ryan's a pretty smart guy.
got out at the right time.
That's
all
the
you
right
can
time.
Say.
Well, absolutely.
We can talk about what they're going to do. Obviously, you know, Ryan Sandberg plays that small part in Padres history of the Cubs rivalry back in the 80s when he was starring out there.
What Scherzer is doing is
amazing.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. We'll keep you updated. But it's Beer Fest. Always a great night to come out to Petco Park. Want to remind you that you can also join the Padres on Saturday, July 25th for a post-game concert by Grammy Award-winning artist Nelly. Performance is free to all fans with a ticket to that night's game against Miami at 5:40 p.m. So buy your tickets today at Padres.com/BNISD. And we will put Victor Espinoza on the Cholula hot seat. That is coming up next. Padres Social Hour on a Friday night with Kurt and Ben.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. We are back on a Friday night. Kurt Bevacqua, Ben Higgins in for Jesse Agler. And Kurt, it's tough to be perfect. Max Scherzer finally gave up a hit in the sixth inning against Freddie Galvis of the Philadelphia Phillies, so there will be no back-to-back, no-hitters. Three great starts in a row, though, with the one-hitter, the no-hitter, and now one hit allowed in six innings so far.
The hell with Scherzer. I got a guy that's pretty perfect right
here
sitting next to me.
That's what I was going to say. Three straight starts in a row doesn't get any better than what our next guest here on Padres Social Hour did, winning the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes aboard American Pharoah. We are joined by jockey Victor Espinoza. And, Victor, absolutely applause.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
been
you
so long, 1978. I mean, what were you feeling like when you crossed the line at Belmont and that was it? It had finally been done.
Seriously, huh? I didn't even have a feeling in there. I was numb for a minute, but it was just incredible that I be able to get it done for like my third strike. But it's just an amazing thing that I be able to do it in 37 years, huh?
37.
I think it was waiting for me.
It's amazing. You said third chance, War Emblem in 2002, and then California Chrome last year. You probably were wondering, well, I'll never get an opportunity like that again. For it to come the very next year aboard a great horse like American Pharoah, you must be thanking your lucky stars. That doesn't happen for jockeys every day.
No, not at all. And I was one of the luckiest jockey ever. They have it basically the third time and be able to win it. It's just one of those things that I never even think about it and, you know, not even dream or haven't even dreamed to be able to be in that position.
Can you compare horses? Is it fair to ask you?
No, it's not. Yeah, it is kind of fair.
What's the best horse?
Yeah. You know, as of right now, the best horse probably is American Pharoah.
Okay.
Right
yeah.
now? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know, don't know if we'll see him out at Del Mar, but I know the meet is coming up. Every time the fair comes back around, you know the racing season is just around the corner. So I know we'll see you, Victor, out at Del Mar. You race out there every year. They're looking forward to coming back again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm always, like, you know, prepare myself and train hard for Del Mar because there is one of their, you know, the track that I always been lucky in there, and I always win a lot of races, and I always find the right horse for the Kentucky Derby, for, at least for the Triple Crown. That's how I find California Chrome and Del Mar and American Pharoah. But Del Mar is always, it's a fun meet to be around there, you know, and it's just so many people that go there and a lot of followers and a lot of, you know, people like they support the racing and they go there just to have fun. And it's so close too, you know, but over here it's fun too.
So don't think that you can just go to the window and bet every horse that Victor's on, because the odds are
they're not all American.
They're going to be, you know, 3-5 and things like that. He's not going to be on a 15-1 horse for very long.
All right, Victor, you are on the Cholula hot seat right now on Padres Social Hour, and you're going to be throwing the first pitch out today. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to any of the players yet, but I'm sure you met some of them last season. Compare the training regimen. I don't think people understand the training that jockeys go through. I mean, they think about baseball players and basketball players and football players as professional athletes. And, Kurt, I don't know if you know this. To keep in shape for jockeys almost puts the rest of them to shame.
Yeah, it is hard work. It is a lot of training. And And not just the training, the biggest challenge for a jockey and myself is that, you know, really can't eat much. You can't eat whatever you want because, you know, the weight problem. And it doesn't matter how small or tall you are. It's just the weight and it's a challenge. And then working out every day. I mean, 5 days a week, no matter what, you have to work out. And deal with that, a lot of things going on. Riding is not, like, it looks easy. But it's a lot of details going through and the riding thing. It's like anything else, any sport. Like, you know, all the players right here, there is not just throw the ball and that's it, they're done, or hit it. You know, it's a lot of details to go in there. But the players only know what details are going there, like we do, you know, as a rider.
So what's a typical day for you working out, at least in the off season when you're getting ready to race?
Well, and like in the morning, I go in and I lift weights, mm-hmm. you know, for a couple of hours, and then around 5 o'clock, I run up the hill, I do cardio, and sometimes I have a best like weight like 15, 20 pounds, and then I run up the hill.
So 5 o'clock, a.m. or
p.m. p.m. because okay. Not too hot.
That's my kind of workout.
Yeah. And in
PM.
Between, he gets like 2 bites of steaks and a piece of broccoli.
Exactly.
And that's about it.
And a carrot.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Now, see, you're working out's fine if you get to eat afterwards, but Victor doesn't even get to enjoy it. So I mean, you're, what, 43 years old now as a jockey? I mean, how long are you going to keep going after this until you can just kind of let yourself have the big steak and the baked potato now?
I know, right? As at this point, I had no plans. I every time I make plans, never happens. So I just go day by day. And I think when the time is up, overnight, I'll be like, okay, that's it.
As long as they keep giving you American Pharaohs to ride, you're going to keep riding,
then
I'll
keep riding.
There you
right.
go.
Why would you go away? So right? any nerves about the first pitch? Any advice you get from Kurt here?
Well, yeah, now I am because you guys put me a little more pressure.
You know, everybody... So you're going to feel more pressure tonight going to the mountain than you felt getting on American Pharoah at the Belmont.
Thanks to you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
So what's life been like for you since the Belmont? Now, you know, obviously, you know, going around, you've probably been doing a lot more interviews, talking to people, building up the sport of horse racing. What's life been like for you since winning the Triple Crown?
Busy. I have more work to do now than before. Before, I used to have a lot of free time. Now, I had no free time. I've been doing a lot of things, pretty much, you know, for after the race. For, like, the first 10, you know, 6 or 8 days, I probably sleep a couple hours. Because I've been around a lot of the shows that want me to go. And also, the most fun thing that I probably, you know, do it is in, the CMT Awards for the country music. That was a lot of fun. And in Nashville, Tennessee, they wanted me to go there to present an award for them. And I was something that I never, you know, done. And it was, you know, quite experience for me.
They think jockeys wear cowboy boots.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, listen to this. I played in a golf tournament with Stevie Cawthon. And now I'm sitting next to this guy.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's pretty good,
that
huh?
That is amazing. That is
two
amazing.
Triple Crown winners.
Well,
lucky
awesome
year.
Now the
exactly.
Now the Country Music Awards can be your second favorite appearance after Padres Social Hour. Victor, thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. And thanks. You should follow me on Facebook.
Congratulations.
Okay, follow it. What's Facebook?
Victor Espinosa.
Follow
yeah.
Victor
what about
Espinosa.
Twitter? Do you have a
and
Twitter?
And Twitter, too, and Instagram.
Absolutely. Okay. All the platforms.
There you go.
And you also, you guys need to vote for American Pharoah. This is the first time they ever
horse
has been
horse
nominated.
Of the year.
For the ESPYs.
ESPY Awards.
The ESPY Awards.
Coming
yeah.
up next month.
Yep, yep.
A horse for
that's
the just, athlete of the year.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's the first time ever.
I'd like to see him go on stage
why
and
not?
Accept the award.
All right, Victor, you have been on the Cholula hot seat. You are now off the Cholula hot seat.
Thank
but
you.
Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll get back, talk a little more Padres baseball. Again, thanks to Victor Espinosa for stopping by. Friday night edition of Padres Social Hour. Tweet us using the hashtag PadresSH. With Kurt, I'm Ben. Padres Social Hour, back in a moment.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
And we're coming to you live from the AMR studios inside the Western Metal Supply Company. It's hopping in here tonight. I don't think I have ever hosted for Jesse a social hour where I've seen more activity inside the building than tonight. So a little buzz for tonight's game. And, of course, outside there at the Beer Fest, going strong right now. First pour was at 5 o'clock. In fact, I even – because I got so criticized last time for my lack of
sake. I was just going to go there. You must have been reading my mind.
I did. I wore my my San Diego Ale Trail beer socks for Beer Fest night. And, of course, perfect Padres colors with the throwback gold. So
that's why everybody's here. They came to see your socks.
Sock game. I know. My kids hooked me up for Father's Day. I have so many socks. I couldn't fill in for Jesse enough and get all the socks on the air. They'll be like – spilling over into next season with the sock game. So
what do we need to do with this club? What is it? What is it? Why are they so inconsistent? What do you think it is? Can you pinpoint anything? Can you see anything that a guy that played for as long as I did doesn't see?
I can't pinpoint it. I mean, offensively, certainly you've got the all or nothing mentality sometimes, you know, boom or bust, where either guys all hit at the same time or they're all – striking out at the same time. So you end up either scoring 10 or you score one or none. And that's not the recipe to win games consistently. You want to find an offense that's going to put up four to five runs every single night. And if you've got a pitching staff that's holding the opposition to three or four, you're going to win a whole lot of games that way. This way, they just haven't been able to build that go-to consistently. But I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't have the answer. If I did, as Jesse always says, he'd sell it to A.J. Preller for a lot of money.
Absolutely.
But I don't have the answer either. I think Pat Murphy is certainly looking for the answer, and that impresses me. I mean, he is dedicated, at the very least, to going out there and trying some new things, meeting with everyone, you know, getting the minds together, communicating, and figuring out what the answer could be to get this team going and on a roll. Will he find it? I don't know. That's why it's baseball and we find out. But I like the process that he's going through, at least.
I don't think people should be prepared for a garage sale if things continue just about where they are up through and getting to the trading deadline. I think you might be surprised because if you think about things, you know, six games is not that much, especially the streaks that we've seen the Dodgers go on. When we play the Dodgers, they look like world beaters. They play so well. Everybody makes contact. Their pitchers are unbelievable with the exception. We seem to have something up on Kershaw. Greinke has something up on us. And the rest of the staff is thrown in there, and they do pretty well against this ball club. But they play against other ball clubs. They look terrible. I mean, it's amazing.
It is weird. I mean, they have the Diamondbacks are going to be facing them this weekend, and I don't know if the Dodgers will ever get out of that funk. They played well against the Padres, absolutely, for sure. I am like you, Kurt. I like to think optimistically. I see all the opportunities that this club has to get back in the race, get back to 500. Hey, it doesn't take much. A short winning streak here, you know, win 8 out of 10 there, and you are back in this thing. I have to point out the other side of the coin, mm-hmm. and that is we are approaching the All-Star break, and the Padres – I looked at this, and it stunned me because it seems like this has been the case all season long. Over the last month, I got this from the Arizona Diamondbacks notes today, since May 18th, the four best teams in the National League, best records, would be the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks. The four teams the Padres are playing in a row right now, starting with the last series against the Giants. Then they've got Arizona, and they get the quick two against Seattle, and then they've got to go to St. Louis and Pittsburgh. And I worry that if the Padres don't make some hay on this five-game homestand, they got a tough 10-game trip, four in St. Louis, three in Pittsburgh, before three in Texas to close out the All-Star break. If things go badly, they could be too far out of it to kind of catch up in the second half. I don't want to see that to happen. I hope it doesn't. But you have to at least acknowledge the possibility that they've got to play well over these final 15 games before the All-Star break. And if they go 6-9 and all of a sudden they're 8 games below 500 and they're, you know, 10 or 11 out, then you're really thinking, uh-oh, maybe they do have to start thinking about making some trades.
10 or 11 out is not where I was talking about.
Right, exactly. And so I think you have to make hay now.
I think you're exactly right, because that road trip that they have coming up is not going to be an easy one. You've got two ball clubs that are playing great baseball. Yeah. You got a ball club in St. Louis that plays so well at home, it's scary. And then you've got one in Pittsburgh that didn't play that well at home at the beginning of the year, but now they are. So, you know, you've got seven games there that, you know, it could be nasty.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we've seen this team play well enough to win those games. They got to do it consistently, though. So I think that's why at the start of the show I called, let's see the 5-0 homestand. Because you do that, you get back to 500, and all of a sudden that road trip, instead of looking like a potential nail in the coffin of the season, all of a sudden looks like a great opportunity. If you can go out and just have a winning road trip, 6-4 against those good teams, you've proven you can compete. You'll go into the All-Star game on a rush above 500. I mean, to me, these next 15 games really could decide the tone of the rest of this season.
Oh, I believe so also, especially if they go upside down. But I don't think they're the kind of ball club. They seem to be able to stay away from that. But in order to win five in a row, they've got to win the one tonight. They've got a good guy on the mound because he just blew the Diamondbacks away on the road. They don't have good feelings facing Tyson Ross. I'm glad he's on the mound against Arizona tonight, and I look for the Padres to win this game.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about Tyson Ross and the rematch against the Diamondbacks tonight, coming up in the second half. Want to read a quick tweet, though, using the hashtag PadresSH. This comes from Dan at hashtag Troll. So those guys get chairs, but I need to sit on the floor at Ben Higgins SD, hashtag PadresSH, hashtag get chairs in the Padres team store. Okay, do we have the wide shot blooper? Yeah. Okay, wave, guys. This is Ed and Steve who are sitting watching the show because they used Compadres Rewards and actually picked as their reward to come down and join us tonight. Me and you, Kurt, for the Padres Social Hour up close. So that's why they've got those cool director's chairs.
So who's sitting on the
floor? And hashtag troll somewhere up there
is
on the floor. I don't know. But with a Twitter name like that, maybe the floor is the correct place for a hashtag troll.
I don't see him.
I don't know. We've got a good audience up there, though. It's a Friday night. It's Beer Fest. Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks, start of a five-game homestand at Petco Park. Kurt and Ben, we're going to come back. First, though, I want to know, do you know an all-star mom, Arm & Hammer, and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom, send her and her family to the 2015 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. And we'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
What's everyone drinking? It's Beer Fest night on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Oh, it's starting to get busy out there. I guess that's why no one's brought me a tall, cold one, Kurt. We could both use one at this point.
It is getting busy out there.
It is. Well, it's one of the, I think, most fun events that the Padres put on pregame all season long. I think that's why they added one more. I don't think this one was originally on the schedule, and they added an extra one just because it's such a popular event. And we have so many great breweries all throughout San Diego. It's a great way to showcase some of our terrific beers in town.
So I don't think the chances are very good that the ball club is going to go without having another beer night.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it's keep them coming. Hey, know what?
Absolutely.
Wins are the best, but if you can't have a win, at least have a nice cold beer.
How about a combination of both?
That would be perfect.
There you go.
That would be perfect. Let me offer some good news and congratulations. Saw this yesterday. Colin Ray, who is a pitcher for the Padres at AA San Antonio, was named to the Futures game, the All-Star game. He's got an ERA just over one. Best ERA of any pitcher in minor league baseball with over 50 innings. So there is some encouraging news in the minors. And I also saw another note from the Futures game. You're going to think I'm kind of a baseball nerd on this one. But the Diamondbacks also had a double-A player named to the Futures game, outfielder Socrates Brito from double-A Mobile, which just made me think I would love to see the matchup if he makes it to the big league. Socrates Brito against Pittsburgh Pirates reliever Archimedes Caminero. And you can have Archimedes pitching to Socrates in the major leagues.
You are a nerd.
I know. I figured.
Mobile, Alabama, home to Henry Aaron.
Used to be Padres' double-A affiliate in Mobile before San Antonio. Remember, Jake Peavy was one of the stars of the Mobile Bay Bears coming up in the day back then.
How about Cody Decker down in El Paso?
I talked to Cody earlier this week. Had him on,
he just keeps hitting
on the radio.
Home runs.
146 career minor league home runs for the Padres, an all-time Padres record, but still hasn't gotten his chance.
What's up with that?
Well, you know what? Yonder Alonso's hitting great at first base, which is pretty
well,
much Cody's
position. Necessarily saying here.
Yeah. Just somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, get his chance,
give him a chance
at some point.
Give him a chance.
I think Pat Murphy is a big Cody Decker fan, and Cody Decker good. I know is a big Pat Murphy fan. So maybe there's a possibility.
So September's looking good.
Yeah, maybe September we finally get our chance to see Cody Decker, one of the more colorful ball players in minor league baseball. Not just there.
He's got no kidding. No, he can hammer the ball. I mean, he's got a good stroke. He goes deep. I think he's got, what, 14, 15 dingers?
Yeah, I know he hit his 13th earlier this week. I think it's the most in the Padres organization. Upton has 13 in the big leagues, and then Cody with El Paso at least had 13 earlier. So did he hit his 14th also?
And Jed Jerko's swinging the bat well, too.
He's hitting it well. Yeah, I mean, Triple-A, how different is that, Kurt? I mean, the difference between Triple-A pitching and major league pitching on a regular basis, because some guys will come up from Triple-A and they'll just, if they're hot, they'll just keep mashing into the big leagues, and others will just go hit an absolute wall when they get to that big league pitching and they go, I can't figure this level out.
That's because a lot of it's mental. But if you can hit. As a matter of fact, when you get to the major league level with the conditions so much better than they are at the minor league level, sometimes it's even easier.
We've seen that a couple of times, not just hitting but pitching sometimes mm-hmm. as well, where a guy's got a 4 ERA in the minors and then he'll come up and throw a couple of real gems in the major leagues. And then the videotape starts getting, out on both pitchers and hitters. And the real key, and at least this is what I've always heard, is that can you make those adjustments? Once, pitchers get the tape on the hitters and once the hitters get the tape on the pitchers, can they make the adjustments necessary for continued success after their initial couple of starts when they may have caught the opposition by surprise a bit?
The successful people make the adjustments because it's back and forth. It's not just one adjustment, Ben. If, the National League made the adjustment on Jed Jerko last year and this year, and he didn't make the adjustment back yet, but he's on the verge, I think.
All right, a couple of tweets using the hashtag PadresSH. Got one from Ozzy here. Pretty much how our season has been. One step forward, then two steps back, sometimes three. Super frustrating. I've noticed that, too. Every time you think the Padres are breaking through, like in the first game of the San Francisco series, when they come from behind against Madison Bumgarner, they win in extra innings, and you think that is the giant win that is going to really send this team, forward with the momentum they need. They back it up, and the next day, they don't look great. It's they've been unable to hold on to the momentum of big wins like that.
I think when you get into a close game situation, it just seems to me like there's certain guys in the lineup that are trying to do certain guys that shouldn't be, that are trying to do a little bit too much. And I'm talking about the hitters that can't hit the ball out of the ballpark, or they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but they're not home run hitters. They're not in that area of the Kemp and the Uptons, and even Alonso sometimes. But When he falls into that situation also, he's not as good a hitter as he can be when he goes to left center field.
All right, speaking of adjustments, here's another tweet from Tom H. I am Tom H. on Twitter. Are the Padres' offensive inconsistencies due to a lack of in-game adjustments by the hitting staff? Hashtag Padres Social Hour. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I will tell you this. The Padres have done better in late innings against their opponents than they have early in the game. So, to me, that at least indicates that they've been adjusting during the game. I think they've outscored their opponents in the 7th and 8th innings, or about even in the 9th innings, whereas earlier in the game they're getting outscored by the teams. Maybe that's a function of pitching as well. But there are some adjustments being made. I mean, you saw, like you said, with Alexi Amarista yesterday. Nice job against Sergio Romo there late in the game.
It was a great job, but you know what you're going to get with Romo. I mean, he paints the outside corner. It doesn't matter who is at the plate, what kind of swing you have. That's the way he pitches the baseball. If you go to home plate and you look for a ball in the inside part of the plate from Romo, you're a fool. That's all there is to it. You have to look for the ball away and just let the ball travel to you and go inside out.
All right, still to come here on Padres Social Hour. Want to talk about Tyson Ross. As I said, we'll have the lineups, our head-to-head game coming up as well. First, though, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Heading toward a 7-10 first pitch tonight, first of a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Padres Social Hour, Kurt and Ben with you on a Friday night. We'll be right back.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Where do you find Padres Social Hour? If you're at the park, well, you head down to the Padres store inside the Western Metal Supply Company and the AMR Studios. And that's where tonight you find Kurt Bevacqua along with me. I'm Ben Higgins in for Jesse Agler. Just a couple of about an hour to go until first pitch now. And Padres looking to get off to a good start in this series. And they get the right guy on the mound tonight, I would say, Kurt, based on the last performance. You got to like it for a confidence standpoint when your starting pitcher threw a complete game four hitter against this pretty much exact same lineup the last time he took the field on Saturday in Arizona. So that's what Tyson Ross has going tonight.
I like Tyson Ross being on the mound for the Padres tonight. Leading off what I feel is a big series in this ball club's future going forward, like you talked about, we talked about in the last segment, this homestand is important for this ball club because they've got a tough road trip coming up. They're facing two teams that are playing very good baseball.
Yeah, what was different to you about Tyson in that last start on Saturday night in Arizona? Because so far this season we've seen kind of mixed results from Tyson, a lot of kind of middle-of-the-road outings, and we finally saw one of those dominant efforts that we had gotten kind of used to and spoiled by with Tyson the past couple of seasons. And I'll get your thoughts, and I'll tell you what Pat Murphy had to say a second ago as well.
He's one of the few pitchers that I've seen, as long as I've been in the game, whose rhythm can be thrown off so quickly. He's the kind of guy that relies on it to be able to pinpoint not only his fastball but his slider. But I'll tell you one thing. He missed a couple of pitches that he got away with. Early in the season, he wasn't getting away with those misses. Guys are fouling him off recently, and earlier in the season they were jumping on him. You know, very similar to the Buster Posey grand slam off Ian Kennedy. He could have very easily fouled that ball off. And it happens all the time, but yet you get a guy to connect for a grand slam home run, it's the worst thing that can happen.
Well, I think you make an astute point, Kurt, because what Pat Murphy said was that Tyson Ross was getting strike one over the plate last time, and that, I think, allowed him to stay in that rhythm. And you're also right that he's gotten away. Every pitcher is going to make a mistake here or there. Over the course of a few starts, you hope that they don't kill you. And Tyson has really hit a nice little stretch, 10 straight starts without allowing a home run. That's the longest streak in baseball right now, I believe, without allowing a home run. So he hasn't made a lot of mistakes, and when he has made them, they're staying in the ballpark. You can't ask for much more as a pitcher.
I would give anything in the world to be able to come back and play the game and have Tyson Ross or Andrew Cashner's ability and be a pitcher. Everybody has grown up learning this game as keep the ball down in the strike zone. I tell you what, I think that's changed. I think it has to change. If you've got a pitcher that throws 96, 97, 98 miles an hour, I don't know of too many hitters that can turn this ball around. But I know a lot of guys that can put the bat on the ball if you keep it down in the zone. I think guys that throw hard should get the ball up in the zone more, and they're going to strike out more players.
And young Robbie Ray back on the mound for the Diamondbacks has pitched pretty well this season, although he was the opponent when the Padres beat him with Tyson Ross 8-1. Didn't get a lot of help from his defense, if I remember correctly, in that start. But Padres did a good job of being patient against Robbie Ray. They got on base. They were able to eventually push across a few runs and get Tyson Ross the lead. But as you can see, he's got some good stuff.
This left-hander does have some good stuff. But this ball club, you're right, was patient when they faced him in Arizona, and that's exactly what they have to bring into the game tonight. And I tell you what, if I'm Pat Murphy, the manager of this baseball team, I'm trying to score runs early on because if you give Tyson Ross some runs, it makes him a better pitcher.
All right, when we come back, we'll have the starting lineup including the player who wasn't in the lineup yesterday that Pat Murphy said pretty much yelled at him for not being in the lineup yesterday. So he had to go back in tonight. We'll play our head-to-head game as well. First, though, tomorrow's baseball night in San Diego. Oh, I love this one. Giveaway features Padres Beach Towel Night presented by National University. Get your tickets to see the Padres take on the Diamondbacks at 7:10 at padres.com/BNISD. The beach towel is a giveaway. I mean, even when I was little, was going to Padres games and getting those beach towels. You want to have all of them, and you can get yours
tonight. Another baseball night in San Diego. I'm doing a pregame show on 1090 downtown, Union Kitchen and Tap. And I've got Postgame social hour. Tony Muser. And Rob Picciolo.
Nice, Peach. I love Peach.
He's a great guy.
Oh, Peach is a peach of a guy.
You know what? He's the longest tenured coach in Padre history.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. And his son, Brett, used to work in the Padres media relations department as
Peach's
well.
Peach's a good guy.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up, lineup, head-to-head next, Padres social hour. Kurt and Ben with you on a Friday night.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, wrapping up Social Hour on a Friday night, Beer Fest night at Petco Park. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studios, and it is time, Kurt Bavakwa, to go head-to-head against Blooper on a Friday night for the first game of a homestand. And to do that, we're going to have to give you the starting lineup, which is brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. So here's what Pat Murphy has lined up against the left-hander Robbie Ray. See Matt Kemp back in the leadoff spot. It was Derek Norris who yelled at Pat Murphy yesterday, basically, Pat said, for not putting him in the lineup. But Pat says, got to give a starting catcher off, you know, day game after a night game. Occasionally, you got to give that guy a little bit of rest.
You know, we talk about Padres, hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. I was checking the Twitter account. Derek Norris, how much do you think he weighed in spring training? 232. And now he's at his...
hides it well. Because
yeah,
he look
what
like,
is up
he
with
look
that?
He doesn't look like that big of a guy.
I would say he's probably 5'11", 5'10", 5'11". 232. He carries it very well. But I didn't need the starting lineup.
You already know who you're picking.
I already knew okay. Who was pitching. I didn't need the rest
so
of the
So you're going
lineup.
With Tyson Ross to back up his last performance. All right, so that leaves the entire lineup, 1 through 8, there for Blooper to choose his head-to-head choice.
I already know who he's picking.
All right.
Matt Kemp, leadoff hitter?
Matt Kemp.
Is that who you thought I was going to pick?
Yes.
Okay. But is that who you're picking? That is who he's picking.
Yeah, that's who I got.
Okay,
Matt's
so he had a home
swinging
run.
Swinging a bat good.
Home run in the eighth inning in that six-run rally yesterday and trying to respond to that leadoff spot. We've seen, you know, some interesting lineup changes. But our head-to-head brought to you by Supercuts. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. So, yeah, I like the, you know, the right-handed lineup. You got Kemp, Norris, Alonso in there, Upton, Middlebrooks, Barmas, who's been hitting well lately. Melvin Upton, a very dangerous seven-hitter, and Spangenberg at 8. I mean, that's a really good major league lineup in my mind. I expect the Padres to put up some runs tonight in support of Tyson Ross, coming off a great start. There's no reason they shouldn't win this game.
I'd sure like to see them do what they should do when they go to the plate. I call the space between the on-deck circle and home plate the stupid zone. I don't want to see anybody walking through that.
All right. To go 5-0 on the homestand, as I called at the beginning, you have to get 1-0 first.
Yes, you do.
That's the only way to do it. A 5-0 homestand starts with a win tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then tomorrow see if Andrew Cashner can kind of finally break through. He's due for a good one tomorrow. So, and you'll have, again, as you said, you'll have the postgame social hour tomorrow night with Tony Muser and Rob Picciolo sitting
yes.
on the couch with you after the game.
Looking
Hopefully
forward to that.
2-0 on the homestand at that point when you guys are sitting here. I will have the weekend Sunday pregame show on radio. You'll have tomorrow's pregame. We're all over the place.
We are all over the place.
All right. One other thing. Want to congratulate the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Just defeated China 1-0 in Ottawa, Canada in the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup. Two wins away from a Women's World Cup title for Team USA.
You know, you get a lot of information when you tune into the show.
Why not? Well, Max Scherzer, another, you know, didn't
Victor
get the no-hitter.
Espinoza.
Victor Espinoza. A lot of fun being with you tonight, Kurt.
Enjoy the game. Thank you very much.
Thanks for stopping by. Thanks to everyone for visiting us on Padres Social Hour on a Friday night.